Good morning, Greystone. Good morning. Happy New Year. Welcome to 2018. This morning, as you listen to the creation story being read, I hope that you are able to lean into and tune into that story in a way that perhaps you have not before. If we let it sink into the core of who we are, that we literally are fearfully and wonderfully made by God, and that we are, in fact, made in the image of God, and that we are creators along with God in this wonderful world which God breathed and birthed into life, then all of the weight of the world and the things that so often get us off track might dissipate a bit in the knowledge that something grander and greater than our day-to-day activity is taking place. That is to say that there is design to this world and there is intent and purposefulness in this world and that we are indeed God's human creations. Richard Rohr, the Catholic theologian and spiritual guide, says that so often we have gotten disconnected from our humanity. For instance, he says, most of us do not participate in live birth or live death anymore. That is to say, we're just not present for it as people were in times past. These have become medical events, if you please, and to some degree speak to a larger, hermetically sealed kind of life that some of us live. But the truth is, we are human beings, and we are made in the image of God, and we have limited time on the face of the earth, and we are born out of the goodness of God, and when we die into the arms of God, and in between, God chooses to partner with us to bring about God's purposes on the face of the earth. This morning, I invite you to lean into your giftedness, to lean into your purposefulness, to lean into Greystone and its future, and to trust that the God who created us will guide us in this new year. Would you stand, greet one another, welcome one another to this time of worship?
As you make it back to your seat, let's remain standing. Good to be with you in worship on this new year. Hymn number 431, let's sing together.
Thank you. Good morning. Any other children out there? We're it today, aren't we? I want you to look. This is our order of worship day. I want you to look at the picture. You can look on with her, okay? I want you to look at the picture and tell me, where are these people? Where do you think they are? Where do you think they are, Tana? At a stream or, yeah, actually a river, a little bit bigger than a stream. And do anyone know what river this might be? The Jordan, you're right, Walker. That's the Jordan River. And can you find Jesus in that picture? Look down at the bottom of the picture and see if you can find Jesus. You
right
see him?
Here.
He's right here, kneeling down in the water. And the man standing beside him is named John. And we call him John the Baptist, or sometimes we call him John the Baptizer, because he baptized people. On this day, John was at the River Jordan, and he was preaching and telling people that they needed to repent. They needed to turn away from their life that they'd been living and to obey God. And when the people did that, he would baptize them in the river there. And one day as he was preaching, Jesus came to him and asked Jesus to baptize him. And John had told the people that there was someone coming after him with so much more powerful and more wonderful than he was, that John wasn't even worthy of untying his sandals. And the person he was talking about was Jesus. And now Jesus had come to him and asked to be baptized. So John baptized him. And when Jesus was coming up out of the water, down from the heavens there came the Holy Spirit like a dove. Can you find a dove in this picture? You know, a dove is a bird, yeah. The dove came down, and they could hear a voice from heaven saying, "You are my son, I love you, I'm very pleased with you." That was God's voice. And it was kind of like God was saying, "Jesus, I love you and I'm so proud of you, now go out and start what you came to do." This was the beginning of Jesus' ministry here on earth. In our church, when a person decides to be a follower of Jesus, a person comes to the church and tells us that. And some of you might have done that at the end of a worship service. Then on another day, one of our ministers goes up into our baptismal pool right there behind the choir. And there's water back there on days when we have baptism. And the person walks down in the water, and the minister lowers them down in the water and raises them back up. And when we do that, we're following what Jesus did. And we're also kind of starting our new life, a new life where we want to follow Jesus and do the things that Jesus wants us to do. And with God's help, we can do that. And every morning when we wake up is a new day for us, and it's a new opportunity for us to show God's love, just as Jesus showed God's love here on earth. I want you to do something this week. Every morning, as soon as you wake up, I want you to say, "God, show me how I can share love with someone. Okay, and then you listen for God to let you know what you can do that day. Does anybody have any ideas of things that you might do to share love with people? Tana Grace? Give someone food. That would be a good way of sharing love, wouldn't it be? She does. Well, that's good. Can anyone else think of anything? No, maybe you could sit with someone who's new at school or be kind to your brother or sister. Okay.
If someone's ill, then you could send them a goodwill card.
Yeah, sending cards to people who are sick, that's a good thing to do. Let's have a prayer. God, show us each day what you want us to do to help to share your love with others. Help us to learn more, to be more like Jesus, and to share your love as he did. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome, and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky. And there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. And the stars, God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky. So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind, with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. God said, see, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it, God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
On this first Sunday of a new year, we give you thanks, Holy God. We offer to you the praise of our very lives and the warmth and love of our hearts. We pray, dear God, that you would stand with us in this year, that you would shower us with your ways and your knowing and your purpose, that you would give us hearts ready to serve you and minds eager to understand your ways and your grace. We pray that you would call us to work, dear God. We pray that you would call us to serve and to move and to be Christ in this world. We pray that you would call us to be a community of faith together. And as you call us to work, we pray that you would give us hearts made tender by your love and compassion, that you would give us arms made strong by the power of your presence, that you would give us minds eager to know more of you and your word, that you would give us a will colored and shaped by your will. Call us into this new year. Call us as your servants. Call us as your children. Each person here is beloved and known by you. Each person here is gifted and talented. Each person here has something to share. And so as we enter into this new year, Holy God, I pray that each person here would offer the gifts that they can to this your church, that they would build up the body of Christ, that they would bring hope and healing and love, and that whatever we offer as individuals or as a community, Holy God, receive it always for your glory. We pray for this church. We pray for Greystone. We pray that as we enter into this new year, that you would stand very close and we would notice. We would notice the giftedness that surrounds us, the blessings that follow us, grace that calls us forward, dreams that light the path. Help us always to be wise stewards of all of the gifts that are among us, so that none go neglected, unused, unnoticed, or wasted. In this coming year, we pray most of all, dear God, that you would grant us the grace to see in each other our calling to be servants, and that you would give us the grace to live out that calling together. We pray, remembering our baptism, remembering your Son's glorious baptism, and remembering that holy and precious name, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Thank you. Pray with me, please. Gracious God, we know that all gifts come from you, and from these riches we bring this offering. Help us to be generous givers, dear Lord, both of our money and our lives, that we might be used to make a difference for good, to further your purpose, and to benefit those in need. We ask this through your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave all that he was, that we might know life in all its fullness. Amen.
Our gospel lesson this morning comes from Mark, the first chapter, beginning in verse 4. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people from Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." May God add understanding to the reading of this lesson.
Part of the joy of being a minister is getting to do weddings. Notice I said getting, not having to do weddings. No, it's part of the joy is getting to do weddings. I've done a lot of weddings in my life. I don't know, in the hundreds for sure. I was at dinner one night in Leesburg, Virginia, with a gentleman who was seated across the table from me not the rehearsal dinner, but the actual wedding after dinner. And he said, "How many weddings have you done?" And I said, "I don't know. I think, like, at that point, close to 200. He said, "I've done more than you." I said, "Well, great. You know, glad to hear it." I said, "Are you a minister?" "No." He said, "I'm the captain of a ship." I said, "Which ship?" He said, "It's the ferry, Harper's Ferry, that goes from one side of the Potomac River to the other, from Virginia to Pennsylvania." He said, "Cars drive onto the ferry, and I pronounce the words, and we have the ceremony, and when we get to the other side," which only takes about 5 minutes, he said, "they're married." And he said, "I do weddings, countless weddings, every single week on the ferry." I said, "Well, I'm glad it's not a competition, because you've won in terms of this." Every time I stand to do a wedding with a couple, they always get married. No matter the mishaps, it always happens that at the end, that as long as we sign the documents and we got an exchange of the rings and the vows, they always get married. But in between, there are some mishaps, right? Like, I had a groomsman who passed out, 6'2", just flat out on the floor. The ladies came and drug him through the side door, and in about 6 or 7 minutes, he was back. They had revived him, water splashed all over his face, and on we went with the ceremony. Bride who stumbled because of the lack of oxygen, because of so many candles, she staggered a bit, fell onto the piano. And again, we had time to revive her, get her back in her place, and we finished the words, and she was married. I had a groomsman, or a groom, who was 6'8" tall and laid on the bench outside of the waiting area to come out for the wedding, in tears, because we told him that the videographer could not stand within about 10 feet of the service, and he cried like a baby. But he got married. Hopefully she didn't find out, and we went on with the service. But every time I do a wedding, one of the things that I say to the couple that's getting married is this: that you're creating something new, that this is a new creation, if you please. This entity has not existed previously. This husband, this wife, this family, this home has not existed. And so therefore, you are in effect co-creators with God, creating among the synergy of the two and the Creator something that has never been in existence. And this something has an offering to be made to the larger world. And so we don't know where your marriage is going. We do not know how it is that you will listen to and participate in this vision that God has for your life. But what I do know and understand is that now you have locked hands with God and become a co-creator with God in this incredible and this incredible journey that lies ahead. I hope this morning, as you heard the story of creation read, that you did hear it with new ears. That somehow this notion that this world is not an accident, that we are not just the result of a big bang, those of us who come at this creation from faith, that there is purposefulness to this, and that this God who created the heavens and the earth is the very same God who seeks to continue that creation. And guess what? Lo and behold, God wants to continue to create, but we are now in the process. Because as the Spirit of God broods over the creation of the heavens and the earth, the Spirit of God also broods over the creation of each one of us. And so therefore, we are uniquely created. We bear the imprint, the Bible says, and we are in fact the image of God, a little bit lower than the angels, in fact. And that in this creation, we have a kind of uniqueness, and we also have an ability to offer up to the ongoing creation of the universe something that is unique to us and only available to us, and is only expressed as we link hands with God and become part of this creation. Elizabeth O'Connor, many years ago, wrote a little book entitled The Eighth Day of Creation. And her premise was very simple, and that is that on the seventh day, God rested, but on the eighth day, God linked hands with all of creation, including humankind, so that we together would continue with this vision that God has for His world. And it doesn't let any of us off the hook at this point. We are all in this together. And she went so far as to say that it is blasphemous for us to turn our backs on this partnership that God has offered to us in being co-creator. Her vision is this, that as we discover our giftedness, as we discover this special imprint that God has placed in each of us, that we are then responsible for developing that. And not only that, but that we are responsible as a community of faith for encouraging one another to develop this imprint. So that we become a united voice in the sense of calling forth from one another this opportunity to create and do something that is unique and different. And so that means that the church is about more than just coming and absorbing. It means the church is more than just taking and being fed, so to speak. It means certainly the church is about more than being entertained or being just at the top of someone's list in a litany of other congregations where you're getting, quote, what you really need. It means that we are called to form a community, a beloved community. And in that beloved community, we seek out the best in one another. And in the seeking out of the best in one another, we call forth one another's giftedness. And it's so much more than filling a slot on a committee. So much more than simply getting a task done. In fact, it would be good to zero set at the beginning of a year and say, how is it that we want to be church together? And what kind of unique gifts and talents are available in order to become that kind of church? And so we are co-creators with God. Think about it. And the other scripture reading this morning, and it's no mistake that was read, is the baptism story of Jesus. Here we see Jesus entering the waters of baptism just like we may have done. And coming up out of the waters of baptism, we hear those words that we all long to hear, which are quite simply, you are beloved, and you are wanted, and you are needed, and I would just add, you are missioned and commissioned to join hands with God and to become a creator. There's something special in this scripture verse that we dare not miss, and that is that the heavens are torn asunder. It's a schism. It's a earthquake of sorts, in that when Jesus comes up out of the water, this presumed dome that sits over the face of the earth where God resides, God above, right? We're here on the face of the earth. The bad guys are down below us. That's the way the cosmology stacked up in the ancient world. But what we know and understand now in this one moment is that this barrier, this sort of dead-endedness that was so often a part of the ancient culture, where God cannot be reached, has now literally been revealed. And the curtain has been ripped back. And we now have access. We can come near, and God has come near to us in Jesus Christ. This causes the earth to move on its axis differently. Historically, in the ancient world, gods were far and removed, and gods were kept away from humankind. In ancient mythology, in fact, for gods to mingle with human beings was absolutely prohibited, which is why it was so revolutionary that Prometheus decided on one occasion that he would have sympathy upon humankind because there was no light and there was no heat, there was no fire. And so Prometheus stole fire, brought it to the face of the earth in hopes that humankind would have light and warmth and would have the benefits of fire. But when it was discovered, he was given an ultimate punishment. He was chained to a rock. He was resigned to an eagle who would eat at his liver every day. The liver would be restored the following day, and this went on exponentially. But what we see and know is that gods were not to make a visitation to the earth. But what we have in this brilliant depiction of Jesus' baptism is that Jesus has come to the earth, that Christ is with us, and that Christ is beloved. And this morning, if we get a taste of this and we understand our own giftedness and our opportunity to be co-creators with God, then something very unique and special takes place. What is your giftedness this morning? Do you know? What is it that you are being spent for day in and day out? What is worth living for? And maybe more importantly, what is worth dying for in your world? Who gets your best time and your best resources? Who benefits from your greatest talents? Who is it that you are able to speak with about your dreams and your hopes and your fears and your doubts? For me, these are all good questions that begin to help me understand at a deeper level what it is that I'm uniquely gifted for in this great enterprise of God's creation, this kingdom come to earth, and how I fit into that process. One of the great disappointments of the contemporary church is that we've all adopted an attitude of passivity. We know the tasks, but do we know the calling? We know what the assignments are, and we know that we want to be successful, but do we know the why of that success? And do we have a sense about how it is that we partner with God to move forward in this creation of something new? Greystone Baptist has the opportunity in the next year to dream in ways it has never dreamt. Greystone has the opportunity to let go of what is not helpful and to grab hold of what is helpful. Greystone has the opportunity to heal in relationships, one person to another. Greystone has the opportunity to envision something that has not yet been visioned. And I will promise you, I can say this with no equivocation, God is not finished with this congregation yet, and you are not finished in terms of your offering to this congregation. And all of this we are able to affirm because we are created in the image of God. And in the image of God, we see in the face of Jesus one who understands us and who knows us. And when Jesus is given the affirmation, "You are beloved," it is the affirmation that comes to every son and daughter of the living Christ. Thanks be to God for that. Would you pray with me? God, this morning we come to this table and we come grateful for the gift that is offered, for the love that these elements represent. We come knowing that this is nourishment for our giftedness and for as strength for our journey which lies before us. Would you help us not to wander aimlessly through this year, to seek a deeper sense of your guidance and leadership, to ask the question, what is it that you would have us to do and what would you have me to do? And Lord, might you allow these elements to be the grace, the real grace that frees us from our fears and from our restraints as we become more certainly the people of the living God. We ask this prayer in Christ's name. Amen. This morning, communion will happen differently. That is to say that there will be deacons across the front of the room in pairs. One person will be holding a tray of bread. The other will be holding a tray of juice or wine. We are going to ask that you would come forward, that you would take one of the pieces of bread and take it, that you would take one of the cups and drink it, that you would place the empty cup in a basket that you will see at the end of each pew. And then we're asking that you dip your hands into the water in the basins that are before us, as a symbol of your own baptism, as a recommitment of your faith, as a way to remember what you said and what you did when you said, I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, as an avenue to open up the possibility of new creation in the life of this congregation and in your own personal life. This morning, the gifts are before us, and God has given them to us. And so the scriptures teach us that on that night, as Jesus was in the context of his community, that he took the bread that was at the table and that he broke it. And he said, this is my body which is broken for you. And that he also took the wine that was at the table and he poured it. And he said, this is my blood, which is poured out for the remission of sin. Both symbols of good news, life-giving symbols, and avenues to the trust of new creation. I invite you to come and to receive. May we pray. Lord, we bless this bread and we bless this cup and we ask now that as we understand the symbols, we would draw closer to you. As we take the bread, as we take the cup, as we dip into this water, help us to remember that we are part of this beloved community. And we pray it would mean that we see new paths in our movement forward in this year. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. stand. Would you turn to one another and pass the peace of Christ? What a gift to be part of the community of faith and to be part of the family of God. This morning, the invitation to you is if you have never walked through the waters of baptism, that we would receive you and welcome your commitment, and we would be honored for you to be baptized with others. This morning, if you would come and join this church, our doors are open to you. If you in your own heart make a decision about this new year and how you might wish to partner with God through your giftedness, those doors are open as well. May we sing together, and we are given the opportunity to respond. So glad to see you this morning on this amazingly cold stretch that we are in. Hopefully it will warm up and pipes won't unfreeze and we will all be safe. But thank you for being here this morning. We are starting a new year. I would remind you that this Wednesday night, the January Bible study begins. Dr. Jennifer Bashaw will be here, who is professor of New Testaments at Campbell University. And I know that she will be amazing, and so I hope that you will sign up and be present for Bible study this week. Meetings will begin in the next quarter for Greystone regarding the kind of visioning process as the church begins to prepare itself for its new pastor. There's a pastor search team in place, a very exciting time in the life of the church, and a time for expressiveness and giftedness to be seen in new and fresh ways. And I encourage you to think and to pray about those things. Thank you for being here this morning.
Thank you.
remind those of you who are visiting with us this morning, if you would like, I'll be stepping into the room right across the hall, and I would love to meet you and get to know you better. Now may we pray. As you go, remember that the God who created you goes beneath you as a firm foundation upon which to build your life. And the God that we know in Jesus Christ walks beside you as one who knows you and who loves you for exactly who you are. And that the God that we know and experience through the Holy Spirit has promised to blow with fresh winds through the corridors of our lives and gives to us deep and lasting peace. Amen.